This message is one of the Times Square Church pulpit series. It was recorded in the sanctuary of Times Square Church in Manhattan, New York City. Other tapes are available by writing World Challenge, P.O. Box 260, Lindale, Texas, 75771, or calling 903-963-8626. You are welcome to make additional cassettes of this message for free distribution to friends. However, for all other forms of reproduction or electronic transmission, existing copyright laws apply.
I don't have a sermon today. I'm just going to have a heart-to-heart talk with you. I want to talk about every believer is called to the nations. Every believer is called to the nations. I want you to go to Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28, beginning at verse 16. 28th chapter of Matthew. My message, every believer is called to the nations. It's going to speak out of my heart some things that I feel very strongly being moved upon and stirred by the Holy Spirit. Then, verse 16, chapter 28. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. It says, even unto the end of the world, it means the ends, the far corners of the earth, the far places, the places that are untouched to the very end of the world. Go ye, verse 19, therefore, and teach all nations. Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to speak by your Holy Spirit. Now, I need a touch from heaven. I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, this is in my heart, but now I have to convey it to the people who listen to me this morning, and I can't convey what I feel and what I know to be the stirring of your Spirit in my heart. But I ask you, Lord, to give me that touch. Lord, I'm not looking to be a good preacher. I'm not looking to be a great preacher, just an effective preacher, one who affects lives by hearing what God is saying and bringing it to the people. In Jesus' name I pray, sanctify me. Amen. I just came from Sacramento, California. My son Gary, who travels with me now preaching, and will be ministering to us today. And we held a ministers' conference in Sacramento with the Ukrainian organization, the Pentecostal Ukrainian Union, a number of Pentecostal unions there. And we're amazed at the numbers. They have 70,000 Ukrainians in Sacramento, and on the west coast from Sacramento to Seattle, 250,000 Ukrainians. Most of them came about 10 years ago, 8 to 10 years ago, when there was great persecution in Russia. And I asked why so many Pentecostals and evangelicals were immigrating, and especially to that part of the country. And they said that there were two groups in Russia at the time being persecuted. At that time, Americans were inviting persecuted groups. They've tightened a little now, but at that time, the doors were open for all persecuted people from all nations. And since Pentecostals and Jews were persecuted the most, they came along with large groups of Jewish people. Most of the Jews came to New York. The Ukrainians went to Sacramento, where there was already a small group of Ukrainians. And pastors came from all over the world for this conference, Ukrainians. And the evening services, there were over 5,000. And God did a good work. But I was moved when some Ukrainian pastors who came from Ukraine, who did not immigrate to the United States, were burdened. And one of them said to me, in essence, I'm here to plead for Ukrainians to come back, because so many of the talented, so many of the anointed have come, and many of them have opted for the easy life. It's not as easy in the Ukraine. And now we've got to have help. We need help in Ukraine. Now, I've been to Ukraine, and we hope to go back. We were in Kyiv and had a great meeting there. And I can tell you that there is a great need. There's such a hunger for God and so few teachers and pastors. And they're crying for the young people, especially, to come back. A lot of the young people, Ukrainian young people that are here in the United States, when I went, the Holy Spirit told me to warn them. They're losing their teenagers. And some of them confessed sins to me that were unspeakable. I didn't know that. I'd already told them what the Holy Spirit was saying to me the first night. In fact, probably over 500 to 600 young people poured to the altar to get right with God and to renew their walk with the Lord. And a pastor from Uzbekistan came. And he speaks Russian. They speak Russian and Ukrainian. And his first vacation in 27 years, he pastors in this Muslim country, all Muslim, 99% Muslim. And he pleaded with Gary and I to come. And he pleaded with the Ukrainian organizations. He said, we have got to have help. We have a nation now of Muslims who are hungry for God and they're so easy to reach. And he talked about their rice evangelism. He said they just take a bag of rice and they'll knock on the door and said, look, and these people are hungry because it's a poor nation and many of them have no food and there's shortages of food. And so they just knocked their people from their congregation, just knock on the door and said, look, I've got some rice. If you have a stove, could you cook it? And we'll just sit and eat. And of course, they come in and the people don't understand this giving. And they tell them why they're giving, because of Christ. And people are getting saved through rice evangelism. But he said, we've got to, even if they could come and go into homes and pass out rice and do this, not even looking for ordained pastors, preachers, not trying to build churches, but just going into homes, winning them family by family in Uzbekistan. Now, we're sending our advanced team over there, and we're praying about going next year for a weekend to the capital of Uzbekistan. And he said, if you will come, we're not allowed to have any public venues, but there's a large church there we can get a hold of. And they're talking about moving the seats and packing 3,000 in there and stand for the day to hear the gospel. So hungry. So hungry. I had eight young men drive 12 hours from Los Angeles to come to Sacramento. They drove all night. They're Armenian kids. Some of them teenagers. Just pleading, would you come to Armenia? There's a revival. God is moving in Armenia. People are so hungry for God, and it's so easy to speak to them now. And would you come? And so we're praying about after Uzbekistan to stop for 3 or 4 days there. And they said thousands will come. Thousands are hungry, but there are. They said, now these boys are planning, I think, to go back, but they said Armenians are coming in here now and because of the poverty, and all those with talent are leaving, and there's not enough going back. The nation is bereft of workers. They don't have anybody to minister to them. Just going door to door, just speaking in the marketplaces. People gather around, especially Americans can get a crowd because beyond what you've heard, when you get into Armenian and Uzbekistan and these other places, if you're an American, you're received. If you're English speaking, you're received. Now, first of all, let me tell you, I'm a pastor here at Times Square Church. I'm the founding pastor of this church. God put this on my heart. You wouldn't be here if God hadn't spoken to my heart. I don't know where you'd be. You'd probably be serving the Lord, but you would not be here in this church. Now, folks, I'm committed to this church. I'm just going to speak to my heart today. I'm committed to this church. The pastors of the church travel just a portion of the time. And I thank God. I'm committed to this church as long as God gives me breath. This is my heart. My heart is right here. And I can't tell you how marvelous it is to go to a mission field and give yourself to people who are so hungry and to feel the power of prayer, to feel the love of people. And that's probably the best situation that anyone could have. And I thank God for what God is doing in this church as far as missions are concerned. This is an incredible missions church. Now, God is doing so much. This church took the choir with Pastor Carter to Nigeria last year. And we have a sister from Josh that's I met here this morning, just visiting now, just came in and was a part of that meeting. And, 500,000 a night came. 500,000 people came to those meetings. The nation was touched. I've had teams from this church accompany me in Finland and Italy, and very soon, in a few weeks, down in Brazil. And we've had short-term missionaries groups go out all over the world. Right now, our young people are leaving Saturday for Guatemala. I think there are 17 of them going down to Guatemala with Brother Bean down there and his wife. And they're going to build two houses, and they're going to set up a playground, and they're going to minister to children. We've got missionaries that have left 2- and 3-year commitments now to Mozambique, Afghanistan, South Africa. We've got teams going that have just come from Morocco. Now, that's an all-Muslim nation, and they had incredible results in Morocco. Michael St. Gerard and his group from up in Harlem have left to have children outreaches in the Philippines. They've had them in Colombia. But, folks, I hear the names now, and you hear the names since 9/11. You hear the names of countries you've never heard of before. And in the newspapers now, in fact, our military right now is focused on East Africa. Some of these countries that I could not even pronounce until God gave me a heart for it. Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan. Says Jerkistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan, Georgia. These are all countries I'm praying about going to. But folks, I want to tell you, one man can't do it. It goes far beyond that. You see, this church does have a burden, and I thank God for it. We have groups that have just come from Cuba. We're reaching all over the world, and that's marvelous. But, folks, God's expecting more. There's so much more that God's speaking in my heart about, and I want to share it with you this morning. You see, I see a world now going to hell. These nations are going to hell. These nations, most of them, have such little light. There's just a little light burning. And then I think of all that we have enjoyed here at Times Square Church. I think, I go into my office here in the annex on Broadway. And I have a beautiful office that overlooks Broadway. Probably one of the finest views of Broadway and Times Square here in the city. And I turn to my left and there's my bookcase. And I look on the bottom shelf and there's a whole row since for the last 15 years of notebooks full of my messages. I mean hundreds of messages that I have preached here. I think of Brother Carter and all of the other pastors and all the sermons and all the messages you and I have heard and the blessings of God that have been poured out upon us. But you see, if we just suck it in, if we just drink it in and we don't give it out, if we don't go out and reach the world, same thing going to happen that happened in Jerusalem. Pentecost came. They were comfortable. The Bible said they went from house to house eating and sharing, and the fellowship was wonderful. And God said they're just going to sit here, and they're just going to soak in the blessings themselves, and they'll die in the process. And so God sent persecution. And the Bible said they were scattered, and everywhere they went, they preached Christ, the Bible said. And God has ways of shaking us and stirring us. God has ways of making sure we just don't come and become sermon tasters, comparing pastor to pastor. Which one is preaching with more fire? Which one has the greatest revelation? Which one has the biggest altar calls? We've got people here with altar-itis, I think. Listen to me, please. One of the greatest signs of unbelief is coming to an altar because you don't believe in the salvation. You don't believe in the message of the covenant that's been preached from here. And you get convicted every time something is said about sin. And you're not standing on the promises of God. So you run to an altar again. And that can be the highest sign of unbelief on the face of the earth. I'm not trying to kill the altar services in this church. We have preached about needs. We preached about problems. We preach about consecration. And when God stirs you, yes. And the Holy Spirit says, go, you go. But if there are some of you have been down at this altar 100 times. You come when somebody says, are you saved? It's for sinners. Here you come. And everybody's saying, I thought you were saved. And people can visit here and see the altar is filled all the way back into the lobby and say, what a revival. And folks, it can be hundreds of people who are not taking their stand and saying, thank God, I'm convicted, but I'm under the blood, I'm saved. I want you to come to the altar today to give your life to service, to yield yourself completely to the call of God. But you see, we can't just sit here and enjoy all of this food. Otherwise, we're like the lepers who came on all of that spoil when the enemy was defeated and said, we can't just sit here while people are starving. Now, here's what I'm going to get to. I thank God for the vision of this church. But God's goal for this church is that everyone in this body become a missionary. Amen. Everybody. I want to tell you something else. God's goal is that everybody go. Did you hear what I said? In the annex, young people, dads, mothers, husbands, wives, married people with children, everybody has to go to the mission field. Oh, no, wait a minute, Pastor Dave. You really blew it. You mean I give up my career, I give up my family, I have to go physically to the mission field? Well, I'll tell you how you can go without physically going. But you're going to go. Now, some have to go physically. They have to pack up and move and go to an assignment that God has given them, a call. Paul the Apostle took with him young men, single men. He talked about those precious women that helped him in the ministry wherever he went. Lydia and others he mentions that were great helpers. This is a call both to men and women. But I want to talk to young people that are here now in this service. God has ways. If your heart is open, He can send persecution. He can cause you to lose your job. Where you don't have anything else to do but go. I mean, He can strip you of everything because there's a call on your life and you haven't been open to that call and God wants to use you. And God has a plan for your life. And God says, are you tired of just making money? Are you tired of the comfort? Are you just looking for security? Or would you like your life to count? Because I've got a whole world of dying people who need you. No, You have to remember that God has a way to call. I think of Lisa and Chris Woodworth. Chris attended this church when he was in medical school here in New York. He helped me down in Isaiah House, with Isaiah House on 41st Street. Young doctor. Lisa, who was from this church, he found Lisa here at the church and they were married. And they went to down to Mississippi, in a little town, and had a very fine position there, comfortable, and raised six children. But there was a call. And they, last year, packed up everything. I mean, quit the business, quit the medical field here in the United States, took their six children, and moved to Uzbekistan. And set up Central Asia Medical Association. Now, if anybody here knows their address, I'm trying to trace it down because Gary and I probably going to Uzbekistan, and I'd like to know where they are. I hope they're in the capital where we'll be. But you see, they have six children. That's unthinkable for some to pack up six kids and go to a mission field. But that call was there. That call was that. And I'll tell you, when you have a call, if you reject that call, I'm not going to put you under guilt trip, and Holy Ghost won't put you under guilt trip, but I'm going to tell you something. If you put aside that call, if you do not answer the call of God that He's placed on your life, you can opt out for ease and security and prosperity and a good job and family life and all of that, but you're never going to have peace. You're going to be the most restless person around. And the only fulfillment you're going to know is saying yes, and it's never too late to say yes. And I'm believing God this morning that I'm asking God for 100 missionaries that are going to physically go. Young people, married couples, some are called to go physically. As we just talked about these couples now making 2 and 3 year pledges to Mozambique, Afghanistan, and South Africa. Dear Sister Dolores, I don't know how she's in her older years. I never ask a woman how old she is, but she said, Brother Dave, I don't want to come back. She's now working with AIDS kids now in South Africa, AIDS babies. And she said, I want to go there and stay. Sam, one of our elders, has been over in Kosovo, I believe it was, and I knew he was going to preach. I said, Sam, are you ready to go to Macedonia or wherever God wants you to go? I said, God's going. I said, we want you out of here. Because He has a call. He has a burden of the Lord. And Sam's not going to be happy anywhere else. Yes, he's needed here, but there are those out there. We have other elders. There are those that need Sam. Sam has a heart for kids and young people. They just flock around him like a father. Dr. Smith is a friend of mine from the West Coast, and he's in his early 70s. He's just shut down his medical practice, and he's selling his house and everything, selling out, and he's just keeping a few little things, little mementos and things, and he has pledged himself to be our medical missionary. He'll go anywhere we send him. He just came from Romania, from the orphanage, and he's been to Mozambique. And he said, Brother Dave, we are free. We're just going to give ourselves. You see, you don't have to be an ordained minister. You don't have to be a preacher. The doors are open all over the world right now for teachers, for doctors, for nurses, and for business people, and for housewives, for anyone who can just go and get an apartment, even if you had a job, and you make your apartment a little chapel, and you work with 2 or 3 at a time. China is wide open for teachers. Russia is wide open. Anybody in this congregation that has a skill, you can get in. The nations are closing to preachers and to denominations and to religion, so to speak, but wide open for those who have a career. You hear me? It's time for some of you to think the unthinkable. The unthinkable is that, you mean I can actually just pack up, sell everything, quit everything, and move out? Yes. And there are some that say, I have no money. Well, what did Peter and John say to the cripple, the beggar? Silver and gold have I none. These men traveled all over the world without a purse. Incredible. By faith. And the time is coming and more that God is going to send people out by faith. And that testimony itself is going to be part of the opening of eyes to the glory of Jesus. But you see, God looks for volunteers. He's not going to come and interrupt your lifestyle if you don't want Him. If there's not something in your heart, some cry in your heart, if there's not something that says, Lord, I'm open. I thank you for who I am. I thank you for how you blessed me, but my heart is open. I will go. If it's just for short-time missions, if it's a 2 or 3 year commitment, whatever it may be, I'm open. Now, that's why I'm saying some go. There are other ways to go to the nations, and this is where the majority of you are going to hear the word of the Lord for yourself. One of the most effective ways is to adopt a nation of your own. Is to get a map. Just get a map you can lay out of the world. Just a simple map. And pray over it. Ask the Lord to give you a nation to place on your heart. Folks, we've got 100 nationalities in this church. More than 100 nationalities. So I know there are more than 100 nations. I don't know how many nations there are. There's some of you here from the United Nations. Maybe after the service you can come and tell me how many nations. But you see, I've got a grandson here this morning, 14-year-old Gary, one of Gary's boys, and he's studying Japanese at 14. Because he believes that God's going to open the door for him to go to Japan to be a witness for Christ at 14. But you see, he's preparing. Now, I would like to see everyone that calls Times Square Church your home to adopt a nation. I want you to get a map. I want you to pray over it and say, that's my nation, Lord, and I'm going to take it on my heart to pray. See, you go to that nation by spirit. In the spirit, you go to that nation and you pray every day. Every day you pray about it. You learn as much as you can about that nation. You pray about that nation. Yeah, you pray for the whole world, but you focus on that one nation. And you begin to pray. Ask God that someday you may be able to take a trip there, even for a week or so. Save up your money, whatever you can, to go and just see it firsthand. And maybe God give you just a sample way that you can witness to somebody. The Lord may give you some souls while you're there. You go in the Spirit. Abraham prayed over Sodom and Gomorrah. And this is what he prayed. God, if you find 50 righteous people, will you spare Sodom? And he said, if I find 50 righteous, I'll spare it. Abraham comes back. He said, if you find 5 of those righteous. Now keep in mind, there are 50 righteous, and the 50 righteous stay all through this bargaining process. There's 50 righteous. He's already agreed, if I can find 50 righteous. And then he said, what if 5 of those righteous, you know, what he's saying, if 5 of them are not seekers, if 5 of them are not seeking you, they're not praying, they're not yielded to you, if those 50 righteous, suppose 5 of those righteous are not pleading, they're not concerned about their society, and they really not have a heart for you as they should, will you spare it? Yes. And he goes down finally to 10. What he's saying, Lord, there's 40 righteous people that are not praying, they're not seeking you, and though they're righteous, because he's not trying to wipe out the 40 righteous, he's saying, if only 10 of all these righteous people that are there, 50, will you spare the city? And God said, if you show me 10, of the 50 who will seek my face, I'll save Sodom. 10. Who pray, I'll spare the whole society. I'm telling you now that your prayer closet can be the headquarters of the Holy Ghost for a whole nation. You can go to prayer, and while you're praying, what did Jesus say? The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, send forth laborers into the harvest field. I'm telling you, that's as a difficult labor. That is as important as getting up, packing up, selling everything, and going. You go to the mission field, you become a missionary because you have it on your heart and you don't let it go. You become an intercessor for that nation. And while you're praying, I'm going to tell you, I make you a promise based on the word of God. Because a man came to Jesus and said, if you'll speak the word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus said, as your faith, as you believe, go your way. And the Bible said that self-same hour he was healed. Folks, the self-same hour you pray, that self-same hour, you're praying for that country. You're praying one prayer that Jesus said to pray. Send forth laborers to this country. Right while you're praying, God is probably down at our Bible school near Harrisburg, and there's a young man that's at the school, and he's out in the woods, or he's out in the fields praying, and suddenly the Spirit of God comes on him. And the Lord says, go to Italy, or go to Macedonia, or go here, go there. Or God is speaking to some kid in India. Someone's just been saved and said, you go to Pakistan. We've got 2 converted young Muslim boys in Macedonia planning to open a Bible school there. And you know why they want to preach the gospel? They want to give everything to the Lord? Because somebody was praying. There's not a missionary on the face of the earth, anywhere on the earth, that's there for any other reason but because somebody prayed them there. Somebody prayed them there. The majority of you can't go. The majority of you, God really doesn't have plans for you to go. Because you're to stand back here. He called you. There has to be this supporting body praying for your pastors when they go, praying for missionaries or short-termers, whatever it may be. But you have this burden of the Lord. You adopt a nation. God told Abraham, if I find 10, but God went further than Abraham. He said, if I find one. Israel at the time was polluted. The prophets were profaned, the Bible said. They violated God's law. They were an oppressed people. They were robbing, full of lust, crime, vexation everywhere. And God says, I sought for a man, just one man among them that should make up the heads and stand in the gap before me, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. And the implication is if I could have found one praying man who took it to heart, I would have saved Israel from destruction. One man, one woman. Folks, the time is going to come that you've got to add something to your prayer time. You can't just spend time praying about your family and about your welfare and about paying your bills. That's fine, but there has to come a time you reach out far beyond your own family, far beyond your own desires and your own needs, and you pray for nations. There's a ministry, a prayer for this, because he said the harvest is truly is plenteous. I don't care what people say. You know, we hear that the doors are closing. That may be true. And there's in Russia, for example, the Orthodox Church trying to keep reading to shut down the evangelical witness. But the Lord still says the harvest is plenteous. And there's nothing they can do to stop. If God can tear down the iron and bamboo curtain, nothing can stop the Holy Ghost from doing what he wants to do in any anywhere in the face of the earth. Paul the Apostle was sent forth as a result of prayer. It happened at Antioch, where certain prophets and teachers began to pray over the harvest. And as they ministered, the Scripture said, to the Lord, and as they fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate Barnabas and Saul for the work that I've called them to. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, to Cyprus, and to Paphos. And in other words, they started their journey. They were at a prayer meeting, and they were praying about the harvest and fasting, and they were fulfilling the prayer of Christ. The fields are white. Pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into the vineyard. Pray. And they were doing just that. And at the end of the day, after a day of fasting and prayer, the Holy Spirit says, lay hands on Barnabas and Saul. So I've just been recently converted, and send them out to the mission field. Sent forth by the Holy Ghost. What do you mean sent forth by the Holy Ghost? Born out of prayer. Anybody who goes to the mission field and not backed up by prayer is never going to have the victory that could be theirs if they only were sent forth by prayer through the Holy Ghost. Does God call, and I'm going to close with this in just a moment. Does God call people, certain people, specific places? I believe he does. And if your heart is open, it won't be just scattergun. God is specific. You get specific with God, he'll get specific with you. Remember the story of Peter, with this I close. He goes down to Joppa. And the Bible said he abode there for many days. What was he doing in Joppa? He was waiting for his next assignment. I believe that God has intercessors. They have people that get assignments from God. I'm on assignment right now. My assignment was to come here to New York City years ago and start with drug addicts. I got another assignment to come 15 years ago to establish a church. I have another assignment added to that, and that's to go to the nations along with helping to pastor this church. But in Joppa, he's just praying and waiting on the Lord because he's offered himself to the Lord. Use me where you want. Lydda is not far away, and they come and say, we have a dear sister who's a giving sister. Her name is Dorcas, and she's just passed away. Would you please come pray for her? Peter goes and prays for Dorcas. She is raised from the dead. He goes back to Joppa and abides there for many days, weeks, months, perhaps. It could have been years. It said for many days he abode there. And he's on the rooftop and he's praying. And three men come from a man called Cornelius, a centurion, a Gentile, head of an Italian band. And these three men says, what the Lord said, we have an assignment for you. This is your next assignment. I want you to, and they said, will you come? And angels appeared, and we were told to invite you to come and minister the Lord to us, minister the truth. And he goes down, and that's his next assignment. Are you open for an assignment anywhere God would choose? And sometimes God will pick you right out of a very prosperous assignment and send you to another. Just as he did with Philip, where a great revival had broken out. And in the middle of that revival, others were sent to take his place. When he saw that helpers were there, the Lord said, I want you to go down into the desert and minister to one man. You see, he's open to the assignments of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm open to any assignment. I tell you honestly, if God spoke to my heart, now I'd have to have, Gwen would have to be in complete agreement with that. But if he told me, honestly, to go to South Africa and give the rest of my time to working with AIDS patients or just to go to Mozambique, anywhere that he'd send me on the face of the earth, I'm open for assignments. Now, I know that he's already told me that my assignment is here. But he knows that I'm open. And that's an incredible challenge. But that's what God wants for some of you. Some of you have received a call. You've received it way back somewhere. You've not heeded that call. There's nothing but misery when you know that he's put that in your heart. I didn't expect you to shout. I expected you to hear and believe and be affected by what you hear. If this is going to be truly a missionary church, everybody that calls Times Square Church their home, every elder, every choir member, everything else, it'll never be enough again just to sing in the choir or to be here and say, this is my work and my call. It's not enough to be an elder. It's not enough to be a pastor. Every one of us, God's calling us to be a missionary and to go to the mission field. You either go personally or you go by prayer. You go by your knees. That's enough. Will you stand, please? Folks, can I tell you something? I want everybody 25 and under to listen to me for just a minute. In the annex, and in the overflow, here upstairs, downstairs, teenagers, everybody 25 and under, male and female, look at me. I never liked to fly. I had a fear of flying. I asked God to deliver me. He's delivered me. I don't like to travel. If I had my, I would be here every Sunday. This is the best thing in the world. I enjoy and love the family and church. And by the way, we're here. You're not here to serve us. We're here to serve you. The pastors are here to serve. You're not called to serve the pastors. We're here to serve you. And we serve you by preaching just like we're preaching now and preaching even when it hurts to produce Christ in us. I'm 72 and I have gray hair. And I have energy. You're 25 and under. You can go anywhere in the world. You can pack up and go tomorrow. If I can go to Uzbekistan, you can go to You Turkestan, right next door. I'm not trying to be facetious, folks. This is serious business with God. Before this next week is over, tell you what, if this is your church, I'd like you to pick a nation in the next week by next Sunday. You come in on a little piece of paper, a little card, and you put the name of that nation, that country that you're going to pray for. Now, some of them may be 20 or 30 praying for one nation, all the better. But I want you to hand it to the ushers. I want the ushers deliver them to a pastor's room. And I want to count and see how many nations we have. Let's see if you hear and obey what the Spirit has to say. I'm not just inventing something. I'm speaking the mind of the Holy Ghost. This will truly be a missionary church as God wants it to be. When you, in the moment you do that, every soul that's saved in that country, there's as much, when the Lord talks about fruitfulness, all the fruit that's born in that nation, every soul that's saved, when you stand before the Lord, you come in and you enter into the joy of that fruit. That fruit is accounted to your account. That's what the Bible says. Glory to God. Father, I'm asking you for at least 100 out of this church who will go. And we're asking that this happen the next 2 years, that over 100 missionaries go. They pack up. Those with careers, those who have lost their jobs and say, I'm open now, Lord, for an assignment. Not just because I'm unemployed, but because I want my life to count in a special way. Lord, speak to everyone in this place, everyone hearing me. And pray, Lord, that you help us to follow through. Lord, let there be a volume of intercession rise up from this church. I know I'm going to the nation now because there were five intercessors who wrote me a letter and said, God's calling you to the nations, and I couldn't believe it. And they began to intercede, and that's why I'm going to the nations, because prayer sent me out. Lord, I'm praying now that our prayers will raise up missionaries all over the world. Lord, you're going to raise them up out of countries that they pray. Even the countries they pray of, you will raise up missionaries to go to other countries. Oh, God, this is unending. It's such a vast, vast field of victory. Because we hear what you said. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers while there's still time. Hallelujah. There's a big sign down in Times Square. Army recruiting says, Army needs you. I'll tell you, the Lord needs you. The Lord needs you. And I'll tell you something. All this is a beginning for many of you. You came up here. First thing you do is get involved. If you're from this church, get involved in the missions program, whatever the cost. Even if you have to choose a service that you attend, make sure you get to that missions program. And you get to learn about missions, and you get involved with people who have like passion, who are so mission-minded. And some of you, I see a lot of married couples, you begin to fast and you begin to pray. That's what they did in Antioch. They fasted and prayed, and then the Lord sent them out as a result. Or God will give you a specific call. God will send somebody into your life, just as he did with Peter, to go down. He sent Cornelius into his life, and his assignment came from somebody coming into his life. Somebody came from Lydda to ask him to go to Lydda to pray for Dorcas. And I'll tell you now, God will do miracles. He'll put people and circumstances, he'll change circumstances, he'll do so many things. So many things. And he wants to do that for you this morning. And you can't walk out of here and saying, well, this is just another altar call, this is just another moment, another service. No. And I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, I want you to pray. And I want you to say it from the bottom of your heart. Lord, I have stepped out here as if I were recruiting in the United States Army, as if I was signing the papers. And I want you by faith to sign the papers today, saying, Lord, I am yours. I don't know how to go about this. I don't have money, but Lord, I'm willing. And I'll tell you, if you're willing, you offer, God sees that. I look upon you and I get so jealous for you. I see you here and see you there. I see you, being used of God. Open your heart as I pray right now. Heavenly Father, I'm praying for a miracle in this service. There's some, Lord, that are coming back to their first love. Some, Lord, that are coming to you for the first time. And, Lord, you can use every one of us. Lord, you can use the most untalented. You can take the gifted and the ungifted. You can take what is unclean and make it clean and purify and prepare. Lord Jesus, lay your hand on these that have come forward. Lord, these are volunteers that have come to say, yes, I'm open, Lord. I will go if you would just open the door. I'm asking now for open doors. I'm asking you to send forth 100. Maybe many of them are right here standing now. 100 to go, some to South Africa to work with AIDS patients and young people that are dying of AIDS. Some, Lord, into Mozambique. Lord, some into Russia and some into these countries, Lord, of South America and all over the world. God, I pray for this miracle. I'm asking in Jesus' name. Folks, I want everybody that is going to pray for a country's mission. I want everybody in this place to pray with me right now and in the annex. Would you lift up your hands? The Bible said, lift your hands. And I want everybody in this building to pray. You that came forward, say, Lord, open the door. Lead me, guide me. Imprint this on me so I'll not forget the commitment that I'm making to you right now. I want everybody to pray with me right now that God would send forth laborers out of this church and those that are in front of you right now. Lift up your voice and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're praying for a miracle. Send forth laborers out of Times Square Church. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, resurrected Savior. Lord, here are your volunteers. Now work a miracle. Work a miracle, Lord. Awaken our spirits. Do a mighty work. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for His faithfulness. God has never yet turned down a hungry cry. Never. You know, some of you young men, 25 and under, look at me, please. We still have probably 8 or 10 openings left at our Bible school. If you mean business, and you believe you pack everything away, I mean, just shut everything down and say, Lord, I'm going to give you a... We need 2 years of your life for training. 2 years. And then I want another year where we send you to some mission field. Now, if you don't have the money, don't worry about it. But you have to have a call. I don't know if there's any room for any other girls left or not. We're pretty well packed. But I think there's room for at least 8 or 10 fellows. What I want you to do, if you have that, you feel that call, that need, you meet me backstage. 25 and under, young men. I'm enlisting you today. The rest of you, it's not necessary for you to go to Bible college or any college. It's necessary. Now, if you're in a career, you study to be a teacher, in nursing or nurse's aide, or any of those kind of things, or in business, please contact us on that. And also, you say, well, I can't do anything, Brother David. I don't have any talents for that. Oh, but there are so many openings for just loving ordinary people who have a heart to love. You can go into an orphanage, can't you, and just pick up children and love them and wash their rooms and change their diapers. A lot of things like that that God has all over the world. You go to the missions department, get involved. Now, Father, I thank you for your goodness. And thank you for your grace. And thank you, the word that we've heard will not be forgotten. And I ask you, Lord, that every single person that comes to this church, every single believer, will start taking a nation on the heart. One nation, just one nation, to be theirs. To pray the Lord of the harvest send forth laborers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This is the conclusion of the message.